We had the Titans win earlier, which means the Titans, if Buffalo doesn't win tomorrow, will be heading to New England to take on the Patriots next week as the Pats begin their quest for another Super Bowl run. Their sixth of the Brady Belichick era. But the week leading up to it hasn't gone quite the way that I think most people would have expected and or liked in New England. With the article on ESPN, the magazine, ESPN.com, Mr. Wickersham shedding some light on some dysfunction in New England. I wanted to hear from someone else who's around the Patriots all the time, covers the team. Certainly that's the case with our next guest. His book, The Remarkable Run of the 2016 Patriots, Drive for Five, also does work for the Boston Sports Journal. Writer and author Chris Price joins us here on CBS Sports Radio. Chris, Jody Mack here in New York. How are you, bud?
I'm doing well. I'm trying to stay as warm as possible. How about you, bud?
In New York, only slightly warmer than Boston. I know how cold it is up there because I know how cold it is here, and you guys are a couple degrees even less than us. All right, before we even get into the whole mess that is the Patriots today, what does the seven-day forecast say? What kind of weather are you looking at next Saturday for that showdown between the Patriots and either the Titans or the Bills?
If you can believe it, it's supposed to warm up between now and then. I saw one report that said Friday could get as high as the mid-50s. So it's going to change up a little bit. It's not going to be that traditional New England, you know, January divisional playoff game, the ones we've seen appear for so many years. You know, you remember the snow game with the Raiders back in 2002, and then they had a chilly one with the Titans a couple of years after that. And it doesn't look like it's going to be that traditional, you know, deep freeze that we see so often up here when it comes to the Patriots in the postseason. But it's still going to be wintry. It's still going to be cold, but it's not going to be, you know, like it is right now.
So Belichick might come out in shorts before the game is what you're telling us.
Exactly.
Okay. When you read Seth Wickersham's article, as a guy who's been around the team, talked to all the important people and the like, did your first response fall closer to, what the hell is this guy talking about? Or, wow, I didn't know that this was going to come out now, and he's got some details that even I didn't know.
There were some rumors that had been around the team in the days leading up to that story. A lot of those rumors really dealt with the disconnect, the schism between Belichick, Brady, and Kraft around Alex Guerrero. And so some of that, obviously, as you know, a bulk of that story really dealt with that relationship. And I think that's what a lot of people knew about. My colleague Greg Bedard wrote a great piece for our site a couple of weeks ago when that first came out, basically laying out what we know about that relationship. And look, I think the bottom line here, after reading that and after having covered this team since 2001, these guys are all so clear-eyed and practical. They don't do anything on emotion. They always look at the big picture. I think they are going to come to some sort of consensus, whatever it is between them right now, whatever the beef is between them right now. I think they're all going to realize, look, let's all get in a room. Let's figure this out. Let's get this sorted out sooner rather than later, and then we'll be able to go on with the business.
Really? So you think that there will be a big powwow between at least Brady and Belichick, if not Brady, Kraft and Belichick before the playoffs roll? Or do you think they just have so much faith in themselves that they are football men and they know what it takes and they've dealt with distractions and controversies before, that they'll go about taking care of their own business, which will keep them in good stead, and then deal with it when the season's over?
Yeah, I think that all three of them are smart enough again to realize, look, we all need each other. We're not going anywhere. We're not changing things around. We're going to, you know, continue to operate the way we've continued to operate. And it's my understanding, too, and Greg, again, wrote about this in the story. One of the things that's important here is that I think all three of them need to get in a room together and continue to kind of hash this thing out. I think one of the problems, at least over the last month plus, has been logistics, that they haven't had the kind of time they need to sit down and kind of carve out some, you know, a couple hours in kind of hash this all out. And so I think those issues may have been kind of pushed to a breaking point a little bit. And this is maybe what precipitated some of the stuff that was in the story. And look, it's been a big year for this franchise anyway. It always seems they have big years, but it's been a big year for this franchise anyway, a noteworthy year for a couple of reasons, not the least of which you had the Garoppolo trade. You know, you have Brady continuing to play at a very high level. And I think that was one of the reasons why they decided to make the trade when they did, but that's a whole other story for another day, a whole other layer to this whole thing. But, yeah, I think these guys, ultimately, to answer your question, Jody, I think these guys are all smart enough to understand, look, we're all going to sit down at the end of the year, you know, and kind of hash this thing out, and we're going to figure things out, and we're going to get to where we need to be. I'll say this, my prediction, Belichick is the head coach of the Patriots. Tom Brady is the quarterback of the Patriots at the start of the 2018 season.
Fair enough, and I'll get more details on that in a second. But let me put a question to you this way. Certainly Jimmy Garoppolo was a big part of the story and how he was handled leading up to this season, in season, the trade that came down, negotiations that were or weren't had, and I've seen varying reports that say they've had conversations, but nothing formalized was ever on the table. Those who reported did or inaccurate that they had a deal that would have paid him X amount and paid him more if Brady retired, he became the starter and the like. We got all the backstory on Garoppolo. Who do you think was the bigger mover and shaker to any of the problems that the big three have in New England? Garoppolo or Guerrero?
I think really the bigger beef between Brady, Belichick, and Kraft had to do with Guerrero. I think Garoppolo was secondary to that. I think that the difficulties come in when you consider how loyal Brady is to Alex and how closely he follows this routine, and then Alex turning around and signing up some guys who are on the roster who maybe are starting to take a turn in that direction as opposed to following the strength and conditioning coaches within the organization. And I think that's where Belichick has the problem with the relationship between Brady and Guerrero. I think when it starts to bleed over into the locker room, look, Belichick will give Brady a lot of leeway on a lot of stuff, and that includes this whole TB12 thing, the whole lifestyle, the whole, you know, the nuts and berries, avocado ice cream, the whole bit. But I think the danger comes when Guerrero starts to kind of make more inroads into the locker room. That's when Belichick gets a little bit frustrated with the process. And I think that, more than the Garoppolo stuff, is the origin of the discontent between the three of them.
We agree on that. I think it's much more about Guerrero than it is about Garoppolo. And let me ask you an opinion, because part of the story was, again, not tied to a quote, but seemed to be a source telling the author that this is what Belichick felt and believed, that there were players on the Patriots that didn't necessarily want to join TB12 and didn't want to go to Guerrero, but that Brady advised them to go to Guerrero and or cajoled them to go to Guerrero, and if they chose not to, that they felt that they were somehow going to run out of favor with the quarterback of the team, who is certainly the leader and arguably the greatest quarterback of all time, that they felt pressured to, if Tom invited them to be part of it and or suggested that they buy into it, that if they didn't, they would be looked down by the quarterback. That's a pretty bold statement. Do you buy it?
Yeah, I don't necessarily buy that. I do buy the idea of, let's say I am, for example, Rob Gronkowski, a guy who has struggled with injury over the course of my career. I'm in my late 20s. I want to be able to continue to play at a high level, injury-free, for an extended period of time. I look across the locker room, and I see Tom Brady continuing to play at a high level to the age of 40. And I start to think, maybe Brady has something. You know, maybe Brady's tapped into something that I need to learn more about. That's where you start to see more and more of the guys, at least in my experience in the locker room. It's not so much of a pressure thing, but when they see Brady continuing to play at a high level, continuing to play at an MVP level year in, year out, his late 30s, into his 40s, I think if you're a player in the National Football League, given the small window of opportunity that they have, they are going to do whatever it takes to try and keep that window open for as long as possible. And so they are only going to be inclined naturally to go over to Brady, to make contact with Brady, to say, hey, tell me a little bit about this method. Tell me a little bit about Guerrero. And I think that's where the disconnect kind of started between Brady and Belichick when you're talking about stuff like that. And again, I don't think it was anything overly malevolent. I don't think that, you know, players were pressured into doing it. I think they've seen the results that Brady has gotten out of it, and they're curious for themselves.
So you think the part about Tom potentially pressuring guys into joining him in TB12 might have been at least an overstatement, if not completely fictitious.
I think it was overstated. I do. I think I'm not saying that there are not guys in there who might have thought, hey, you know what? Brady's the face of the franchise. I want to get in as good as possible standing with the quarterback, with the captain, with the Hall of Famer. I'm going to go over and I'm going to try and get some inroads with Brady by doing that. But I don't think anyone was pressured necessarily to join, to be a part of TB12.
Why do you think, because Seth Wickersham's a good reporter, and you know how often he's around the team and the like, but for all of this to come together, for as big a piece, lengthy a piece, telling a piece as it is, someone had to decide that now was the time to talk. Why do you think now is the time to talk in the person's eyes who was the most on-point giving source that Wickersham had?
That's a good question. I think I go back to the idea that this has been a crossroads kind of a year for the Patriots, that they've had a lot of big decisions to make. And let's be honest, Jody, I mean, this team moves the needle regardless. You know, they're a noteworthy team no matter what they do. But a number of storylines around the team, have led to some of these bigger stories. Look at the Garoppolo trade, that, you know, and the way they handled that. I think that was a really interesting story. It's a really eventful story. You know, the Alex Guerrero, his growing influence around the team and his growing influence on Brady, I think that's a really interesting story. I also think that, and I've said this on a couple of occasions, that there is a sense of something kind of coming to an end with this team, more so with the coordinators than really anything else. It reminds me a little bit of what happened in 2004 when both Charlie Weiss and Romeo Crennel left. It really appears right now that Josh McDaniels and or Matt Patricia are going to move on. So they're going to have to kind of reset a little bit from a coaching perspective. So there are a lot of major things going on around this team. They are, in my mind, one of, if not the most relevant team in the National Football League. And when these types of things happen to a team like the Patriots, they make news. They're eventful, and people are going to want to write about them. So I think this is just one of several things that have gone on over the course of this year that continue to make this team incredibly noteworthy in the eyes of the National Football League and their fans.
If McDaniels, and this is a purely hypothetical question, of course, if McDaniels and Patricia move on and Belichick decides in March, you know, I just don't want to put up with this anymore. And he says, I'm going to Jupiter, Florida to go play golf. What the heck would the Patriots do?
That's a great question. You know, there's the popular notion around the team that a lot of people have is that McDaniels would be the next head coach, or, you know, at least would be on the short list when you're thinking about replacing Bill Belichick. So if he doesn't take a job somewhere else, and if, I'm not saying it's going to happen, but with the hypothetical that you're explaining, if Belichick does leave, I would imagine that McDaniels would be one of the first names on the list. The other thing I think is really important, and again, I'm going to sit here and tell you, my prediction is right now Bill Belichick is the head coach of the New England Patriots in 2018. If Patricia McDaniels leaves, it's going to be interesting to see the dynamic of that coaching staff, because they do have a couple of guys in place who I think are ready to take that next step, but I wonder if they're ready to take that next step now. Remember, a couple of years ago, Belichick didn't have an offensive coordinator, didn't have a defensive coordinator, at least in name. That was until Patricia was able to kind of, you know, move on and kind of step up into the role, and Bill O'Brien later on was able to kind of do the same thing on the offensive side. So again, I think really, you know, you talk about this team from a coaching perspective, they're going to have to hit the reset button. It's going to be fascinating to see the way they respond, because remember what happened after 2004? They kind of took a year or two to kind of figure it out, and they were able to kind of, you know, rebound, and they were able to kind of find their footing sooner rather than later. It's going to be interesting, again, to see what they end up doing if the coordinators are one or both if the coordinators leave.
And if Belichick's going to stay, then whoever is replacing his coordinators, that's a completely head coach call, right? That's not influence from above.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that's what I would have to believe. Is Brady going to play till 45 or 50?
Why limit it at 50? Why set the cap on 50, Jody? What's that? You know, we're going until retirement age is what, 65, right? Why can't he play? Look, in all honesty, I think if they continue to invest in offensive difference makers in the offensive line, and they keep him away from that one big hit, I think he can continue to play for another couple of years. I really do. You know, it's you know, we kind of deride the TB12 method, but I firmly believe in the idea that, look, if you're Tom Brady, you feel that's what helps make you a world-class quarterback, you know, drinking water and, you know, avocado ice cream and all that, that's great. And if that, if he believes in that and that helps kind of get him from here to there and makes him one of the best in the game, that's great for him. And he's had that level of faith in this program. It's worked for him. I don't know if, you know, it's so great to, you know, go out and peddle it to, you know, at least from a medical perspective to other people, but it worked for him. He likes it. He enjoys it. It keeps him, you know, pointed in the right direction. I think it's good for at least another couple of years.
If you didn't hear it, you heard it here first from Chris Price, author of The Drive for Five, the remarkable run of the 2016 Patriots. The next New England Patriots starting quarterback not named Tom Brady is 2 years away from being 2 years away from going to prom. So in case you wanted to know, that's when he's going to be skipping out.
The other thing, Jody, and I'll say this real quick, too. The quarterback market this offseason is going to be really interesting. You know, and I'm not just talking free agent. I'm, you know, the draft. The Patriots are really aggressive when it comes to going after quarterbacks in the draft. They've always managed to get a quarterback, either a mid to late round guy, whether it was Garoppolo a couple of years ago, Ryan Mallett, Brian Hoyer, and they had Tebow in here. Regardless of the stability they have at the position, they always know that you cannot neglect that position, because then if that happens, you know, and something horrible happens to your starter, you end up like the Colts did a few years ago, and you end up going 3-13, and that's not what Belichick's all about.
Understood. And since you went there, we'll make this the last question. Any hints on a third-round, fourth-round quarterback? They've been very good at Garoppolo, was just that Belichick and or the Patriot people may like, that you can look ahead to on draft day as being the guy who will next be skipped over because Brady keeps playing and playing and playing and playing?
You know what it is, and I'm going to forget the numbers, but I had a scout tell me a couple of years ago, they're very big on the idea of the rule of 26, 27, 60, that you have to get, I think it's 26 careers, or 26 starts in college, at least a 27 on the Wunderlich, and a 60% completion percentage when you're in college.
Ooh, very interesting.
That's the baseline that they look for when you're talking about a future Patriots quarterback. Most of the guys they've gone after have been those types of guys. And so you start to break down the college quarterback class, the guys who might come out, you know, you're looking at some mid-round possibilities. Maybe, you know, maybe they trade up and maybe they use that, you know, the second-round Niners pick and their own pick and they trade into the top 15. Or I'm fascinated with the idea of, and I don't think it's going to happen, but the idea of Baker Mayfield in New England would be just like Mardi Gras every day if you're a New England reporter.
It'd make your life more fun, but I don't think Baker would take well to sitting eight years behind Tom Brady. That's not gonna go over well with the Mayfield family, I can guarantee you that. Great stuff. Appreciate you coming on board. Thanks. Enjoy the Patriot run. Looking forward to reading your stuff, Chris. Thanks for jumping on with us tonight.
My pleasure, Jody. Take care.